In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Martin Buber once told the story of a rabbi who heard about the great misery that was present in the lives of the needy. The rabbi listened, sunk in grief. Then he raised his head and said, "Let us draw God into the world, and all need will be quenched." That is what Jesus did. He was sent into the world by God, and throughout his ministry, he drew God into every situation. And the ultimate result is always healing and restoration, reconciliation and wholeness. And the gospel story today from Mark is one of many stories about healing, and it occurs at the beginning of Jesus's public ministry. Mark gets right to the heart of the story in the first chapter because he wants to tell about how the kingdom of God was breaking into the world in the person of Jesus Christ. So we get a glimpse of a typical day in the life of Jesus at the start of his ministry. He begins by teaching in the synagogue, and then he casts out an unclean spirit from a man who was there. Then he goes on to the house of Simon and Andrew and brings along James and John. We don't know much about Simon Peter's mother-in-law, except that she was in bed with a fever. The fever could have been caused by a variety of diseases, perhaps malaria or something else common in the ancient Near East at the time. But we might assume that the woman was very ill, because immediately after Jesus arrived at the house, they told him about her, and he went right in to see her. Jesus took her by the hand and lifted her up. And then the fever left her. She was completely healed, and she began to serve them. Her serving was like the angels who waited on Jesus in the wilderness, not like a servant, but she ministered to them. This showed the completeness of the healing miracle, which they needed to see, which Mark needed to tell us about, and which we need to hear today. Then Jesus became very busy as the entire city surrounded the house, with the whole world pressing up against the door. Many who were ill sought the healing of Jesus. And no wonder they were searching for him. Life under the empire of Roman occupation was not conducive to encourage the fullness of human life. The promises of the Jewish tradition were at stake as Rome's intolerance for Jewish religious life increased. And when news of Jesus' authority and healing power spread, the Jewish people had a chance for wholeness and life again. And Jesus said, "This is what I came to do." Illness and disease have always been around, but the people in Jesus' time had no access to health care and hospitals as we know them today. They had no technology and did not know what caused people to become sick. Some thought God caused illness because someone had sinned. Some thought it was due to demonic possession. There were no scientific theories that they could understand. They took care of the ill among them, and lepers were shunned and separated, but nothing like the way we experience illness and health care today. And it is also hard for us to understand illness today, even with all the science and medicine we do know about. And like for us, they wanted to name a cause of the illness, and they wanted healing from it. It's perhaps difficult for us to fathom these miraculous healings. We know of healing miracles that have occurred in our lives and the lives of others. Someone's cancer is suddenly and completely gone. Someone's stroke is completely reversed and there are no lasting effects. A premature baby with odds stacked against her survives and thrives. A woman with a fever is healed, and we call it a miracle. But most of the healing that occurs is not so dramatic or immediate, such as we have today in the story. I believe that most of us think of healing in the sense of one's illness being cured. However, one's healing is never limited to just the physical side. And although we can get some idea of how physical healing has occurred, a surgery is successful, a bone is mended, headaches go away, but often we cannot see actual results. And we all know times when the healing that occurs is unexpected, or times when it's unseen. We see our friends and family, and they don't appear healed to us. Sometimes it looks as if God hasn't heard our prayers for healing at all. Pastor Rick Warren, in an interview, said this about his wife's battle with cancer. "We discovered quickly that in spite of the prayers of hundreds of thousands of people, God wasn't going to heal my wife or make it easier for her, and it's been very difficult." I do believe he was speaking only about her physical healing at that point, and rightly so. But the thing about healing is that it is not just about physical curing, although it can be, and we want to see that part. It's really about a holistic healing of body, mind, and spirit. And it is a process that occurs throughout our earthly lives as we ultimately head toward a life with God in which all are healed and whole throughout all creation. Healing is both a journey and a destination, a process and the result of a process. Every organized religion has tried in some way to relieve the suffering brought on by illness and to complement whatever medical care there was. Prayer and ritual are the most ancient forms of trying to relieve suffering. Healing practices in monotheistic form entered the religion of the ancient Hebrews. And the rabbinic sages made visiting the sick a moral imperative because they taught that visiting, connecting to, and communicating with a person who was ill absolutely contributed to their healing. Jewish theologian Abraham Heschel said that to minister to the sick is to minister to God. The Jewish people believe that the ultimate goal is to bring the world to a state of tikkun, a state of restoration, wholeness, and perfection. And for Christians, ours is a healing religion, and Christ is our healing Savior. Jesus came to heal all of the brokenness in all people and in all of creation. And the primary concern of the church's healing ministry is wholeness. Our healing depends on God alone, and God's healing power is available to all of us. This small story of healing in Mark's gospel might seem to be no big deal to us. The woman with the fever probably would have gotten better in a few days with plenty of rest and liquids. But the point of this story is that our healing and wholeness occur in community. We cannot do this alone. And unless all of us are healed, none of us are healed totally. And we needed to hear about this communal healing story, about its miracle, and about Jesus' role in it. This story shows us the holiness and grace of healing, which is so often hidden, and it can happen even on an ordinary day. All of us, regardless of our calling, have a role in the healing of creation, to be a part of God's dream for us that all be made whole. And at St. Paul's, we have our clergy available for anointing and for laying on of hands in prayer, along with our healing prayer team at all of our services of Holy Eucharist. And if you've ever wondered what goes on at the side altar during communion, where we do prayers for healing of body, mind, and spirit, then come over after communion and experience this particular way of praying. And as those who do this often agree, it's a powerful experience. We have the Order of St. Luke, an ecumenical healing ministry that has a group that meets faithfully at St. Paul's to study about healing and to pray together. And we can put people on our prayer lists so that all of us can pray without ceasing for those in need of prayers. And in the sacraments, we can envision our own complete healing and redemption when all are healed and whole, as our sacraments are the outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. And these are just a few ways that we as a community contribute to the healing of each other, to other people, and creation. We all have to deal with both the good and the bad things that happen to us in life. And I believe this story invites us to consider the many ways in which God does heal our body, minds, and spirits each and every day of our life. To be open to seeing that all the glimpses we get of God's grace point us to the larger story of our wholeness in the future. And we can receive this gift more easily if we open our hearts to its many treasures. Jesus commissioned the apostles and all of us to go out and lay hands on the sick in his name. And in spite of illness, God's grace comes in and raises us to new life and helps us continue our service to others. And for some people, we are the only Jesus they will ever meet. Rick Warren continued about his wife's illness. And yet, God has strengthened her character, given her a ministry of helping other people, given her a testimony, and drawn her closer to God and to others. So Simon's house became a household of God, a gathering of those in need of healing and forgiveness, a threshold into new life. And as John Allen wrote, Jesus's healings are not just random acts of charity on the way to the cross, but are integral to the very point that his death and resurrection make, that God's intention in this world is human well-being and life, even in the face of death. So, what does grace and healing look like in your life? Perhaps you will see it in a restored relationship, a sense of forgiveness, a lighter heart, a regaining of physical health. But know this, even when we cannot see the results of healing, we are standing in God's healing grace. We are surrounded with the love of God and by the arms of Jesus, who takes us by the hand, lifts us up, and we are made whole. Let us pray. May each ill be released from you. May each sorrow be shed from you. May each pain be made comfort for you. And may each wound be made whole in you. May joy arise in you. May strength take hold in you. May hope take wing for you. And may all be made well. Amen.
Amen.